Good morning, Senator Logan. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Gary and Brad. How y'all doing today?
Oh, man, we're great. Great. How's the guitar, brother?
Oh, doing well. Playing it every day. 15 minutes a day, but I'm playing it every day.
There you go, man.
Boy, I tell you, you play it well.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you. I mean, we were playing some Hendrix a little earlier, right? He's an influence on you, right?
Absolutely, yeah, for sure. You know, and even his story too. You know,
yeah.
I grew up in inner city New Haven, and I didn't know anything about the blues and southern music and all that kind of jazz. And to see a guy like Jimi Hendrix playing rock and roll like that was a big influence to me growing up.
Yeah, he just wasn't playing rock and roll, brother. I mean, this guy was laying it down. He was doing things no one even heard of. And when you've got guitar icons like Pete Townsend or Eric Clapton turn their heads and go, wow, when you can make those guys in awe, you know you're on the right path, you know?
Definitely impressive. And he was different, you know? So to be different is something to be, you know, looked at as something good, not a bad thing, you know, necessarily, you know,
yeah,
and
just,
that was something that was helpful. So
just left us too soon.
Not to follow the similar path of everybody else. Do something different. Be your own person, you know?
Amen to that. He just left us way too soon, though. What he could have been had he stayed alive. I mean, what he could have done.
Agreed, yeah, and even that's a lesson in life, you know, certain things they are not to do, you know, when
that's
it comes to drug use, you know?
Well, I'll tell you what you're doing now is tremendous. It really, really is. These folks that you're helping are really hurting, and I know several of them, and they're hurting.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, even my own mother, she's 81 years old, cancer survivor. You know, she gives it to me straight. You know, and every time, you know, our leadership in Hartford comes up with these, cockamamie plans to raise taxes that affects her life, she lets me know. You know, she goes, "What is this? A meals tax? A grocery tax? Are they kidding me?"
Right.
So it's, our seniors feel like they're being, attacked, directly. They're not being considered. And it's terrible, you know, because we have folks here in the legislature that are saying that they want to help the working, working people, you know, help our seniors. But yet they come and they say that on one hand, but on the other hand, we pass policies that directly impact our seniors in a negative way. So I wanted to kind of help out, you know, and continue on with this senior health and wellness fair that was, started decades ago. But I've been trying to grow it. And this year, we had hundreds of people, seniors and folks in the community come out to the senior fair. And it's not just the seniors. You know, it's the seniors, but there were a lot of people that brought their parents, their aunts, brought
That's
their friends.
Great.
Because when you talk about affecting seniors, it's the seniors, but it's also all of the families that are affected as well, trying to help their seniors. Because as Connecticut becomes less and less affordable, particularly for seniors whose incomes are pretty steady, right?
Yeah.
It affects the seniors and their entire family.
Yeah, it's so true. These are individuals who are living on fixed incomes.
That's right.
And the discretionary income is nil. And knowing that the state is going further into their pocketbooks, discretionary income for them is what little that they had is even smaller now because of these increased taxes. And not for nothing, nonsense taxes.
And you know, one of the things, and I have talked to the seniors, I see them from time to time, and they just don't want to tell you. But once they get themselves together and want to tell you, there'll be two or three that'll do the speaking. What you're saying is absolutely true. They've got some money. However, they don't have much left. That's the big story.
Senator, is it true that seniors vote predominantly Democrat, or is that more regional?
I think it's more regional. I mean, you know, seniors are they cover the whole spectrum, just like the rest of our population. But I'll tell you this, though. You know, seniors are being affected by Democrat leadership policies here in the state in a very negative way, and it's affecting them greatly. And it's causing stress and anxiety. You know, seniors now, they work all their lives. They raise their families. They, help to bring us up to, to the way we are here now. And now when it's their time for them to retire, peacefully, just trying to live their life. You know, here we go attacking them and attacking them. We even had a bill last session that attacks the reimbursement rates for Medicare reimbursement rates for long-term care facilities, right? Like Arden House and Hamden nursing homes, for crying out loud. Why are we reducing the reimbursement rates for nursing homes? You know, it's that's affecting our seniors directly, forcing nursing homes to consider closing.
That's
where seniors now will have to go to another nursing homes that are now not in Hamden, but anywhere from 10 to 15 miles away, again, affecting the seniors, again, affecting their families and how they are cared for.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just the medical care that's involved. It's a matter of seeing their family members, being able to see familiar faces and visitations from friends and families. Those are the kinds of things that we're doing in Hamden and Hartford that's hurting our seniors.
I used to be the ranking member of the of the aging committee, and I would work with Senator Kevin Kelly, Senator Tony Wong, because they were both members of that. And it wasn't a large committee, as you know.
Right.
And this was in 2018, that whole Medicare savings program, the Plan B, was voted out. We had to actually call a special session for this because a lot of people, a lot of legislators were voted on it and had no idea what it even did. And we're like, no. We need to reinstate this.
That's right. I mean, the Republican legislators knew, but the Democrat legislators, oftentimes, they vote in like a flock.
Right.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
The leadership lays down something and says, we want you to vote this way. And they go that way, you know, and then they're surprised. They're saying the same thing now with the budget that they passed on July 1st that I voted against, that increases the taxes on groceries. Now they're saying, oh, well, we didn't mean to increase the taxes that much. What do you mean you didn't mean to increase taxes that much? You know, everybody was screaming and hollering about how all these tax increases were going to affect the working class folks and our seniors and the most vulnerable people in our state. They voted for it, and now the pushback, you know, it's just so great. Now they're going back, trying to do what they can to make it not as bad, right? And they're actually blaming, the Lamont administration. You know, for the taxes, when they're the ones who voted these taxes in.
You know what that tells me, George? They didn't read the budget. They didn't read it. They just did what their leadership told them to do, and they played follow the leader.
The budget was plopped in front of everybody 2 days before we
had
to vote.
Yeah, but that's typical. That's what they do to Republicans. The majority party will do that to Republicans. There were times, George, that I would get the budget like 6 hours before we had to vote on it.
And the budget's hundreds of pages.
Oh,
hundreds, over several hundred pages long. You know,
there was a. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. No. It's just terrible. And this go around, you know, you mentioned 2018. We had a tie in the Senate. We had almost parity in the House. We had a bipartisan budget. This last budget, because of the majority that the Democrats have in the House and in the Senate, they didn't even bother to include Republicans in the discussion for such an important document. You have a budget that was passed in Connecticut, right, with not a single Republican vote, positive vote in the Senate or the House. So you know when you have a budget that's passed in that fashion, generally, you know, it's probably not going to be a pretty good budget.
I remember in 2015, we got this, I don't know, 1,200-page document, okay? It was the budget that we were going to be voting on in, it was like four hours, 5 hours, whatever it was. I mean, we were going to talk it up, so it's, you know, by the time we ended up taking the vote, it may have even been a day later. Because if I remember correctly, in 2015, we went in on a Monday, and we went home on Wednesday night, because you know how they have to gavel out that Wednesday, that it was the first Wednesday of the month of June, because it was a long session, and we had a few hours in between to kind of gather our thoughts and everything. But so anyhow, my point is that we got this document for the budget, and we only had like 5 or 6 hours to read it, and then we were going to vote on it.
And how big was it?
Well, it's 1,200 pages. So, we're, you know, it's like, all right, so
you
Gary.
You gotta be kidding.
So they're like, Gary, you take 20 pages. And Kurt, you take 50 pages. And then John, you take 50 pages. And then we'd all kind of convene a little bit later on and share, okay, the 50 pages that I got was this. Tell me about your 50 pages. But to George's point, that's exactly what happens. The controlling party, the majority party, they know, well, the leadership knows what's in it. The rank and file may not know what's in it, but their arms are twisted to go along with their leadership anyhow.
And they do it.
And they do it. He's right.
Exactly. So if they're going to do it, they really should pay the consequences. You know, and voters need to remember this. Next year, you know, every legislator in the House and the Senate is up for re-election. Look to see who voted for that this budget that we're in right now.
Yeah.
You know, and hold them accountable for you know, ask them, why did you vote for this budget that raised our taxes in the way that it has? That increased, you know, an extra fee if you return your used car to a
crazy.
To a dealer. You know, it's just, and it just goes on and on and on.
And the grocery tax, you know, and now they say that
unreal that grocery tax. Oh, please.
You know what? I did I taped an interview that's going to be shown Sunday morning on Face the State program.
Oh, Dennis House.
Oh, Dennis, yes.
Well, I'll be on there Sunday morning. I think it's around 10 o'clock or so. And, you know, I was there with one of my Senate colleagues, and he actually said, you'll see it. He said, I want to make it clear, you know, we did not pass a grocery tax. And I said, I want to make it clear, when it was my turn, I said, I want to make it clear, they passed a grocery tax. You're going to pay more in taxes when you go to the grocery store.
Beautiful.
It's a grocery tax, you know? So it's they're trying to deny, you know, kind of or ignore what they actually did. But they can't do it. You know, the data and the facts don't lie, you know, no matter how you try to spin it. You know, so we need legislators that are going to remember and consider our seniors. You know, we've got to make sure that we hold our legislators accountable for what the bad policies that they pass. And we've got to keep the pressure on the Lamont administration to do the right thing. I tell folks all the time, Lamont, as an individual, not a bad guy, but his policies are thus far have been terrible and have been very bad and hurtful for our seniors and for our most vulnerable people here in Connecticut.
When you talk to our seniors, Senator, what's the number one and number two issue that they bring to your attention?
It's taxes and affordability. I have lots of seniors saying, look, they're not trying to get rich. They're just trying to maintain their current existing quality of life. And that's a struggle for them. And that is wrong. Why? Because their income is relatively steady, right? But because of policies coming from the Democratic leadership in Hartford, taxes are going up, you know, property taxes. It's costing more for food. They have to make decisions between food and medicine. That's just not right.
Yeah. You know something?
Yeah.
I believe something different has got to start. And because they're used to what they're doing.
Right.
However, there's so many people. I mean, I talk to them too. It's amazing. It is amazing how, you know, they're happy people, but they are afraid they're going to lose things.
Exactly.
And that's what they're afraid of, and there's nobody out there to help them.
That's a
and
shame.
We've got to do something.
That's a shame. Right. That's a shame.
Well, you're helping out. I'm trying. There are other legislators as well. And we need to elect more, you know, more officials that are going to do what they say they're going to do. You know, help the working family, working class folks in this state. You know, not just say it, but actually implement policies that actually help people in this state.
Yeah, right.
And not hurt them. So that's where I'm at, you know. And the health fair was one of those items. And that's where the community kind of comes together. You know, I had over 50 vendors at my health fair. Had folks from, you know, Griffin Hospital was there, BH Care. I mentioned Arden House was there as well. Coming together to provide flu shot clinics to folks. We ran out of flu shots. We gave out, you know, so many, you know. Pressure monitoring. It, you know, just goes on and on. So, Naugatuck Valley Health District was used there as well. We even had kids, the young generation from Emmett O'Brien High School. About 20 kids came out, you know, that are interested in a career in health and healthcare. They came out to help, to volunteer, to help the seniors. And it was just such a beautiful picture to see so many people just talking and working together, you know, and it was just excellent.
Let me ask you, was it a political event at all, or was it truly a senior expo?
It was clearly a senior expo. We had door prizes for the seniors. We had giveaways for them there. We even had the Ansonia Police Department and Hamden Police Department were there. It was not a political event at all.
Tremendous.
It was strictly a health and wellness fair that we do every year. So we'll be doing it again next year around October as well. So look out for that as well.
That is fantastic. I'm going to switch gears. And I only have about 1 minute left, but I want to switch gears really quickly because I like to get up to the date, up to the minute information. Any talks right now of a special session before the holiday season?
There is some talk. talk about it, but I don't know how realistic it is. There's no firm dates or anything. There's no firm sort of, you know, agenda what we're going to cover. But it is out there for various things, whether it's the state overall state bonding package.
Yeah, the bonding.
Whether it's for infrastructure and you know, improvement. So there's some rumblings out there. But again, no fixed date, no fixed agenda. And as we get further and further along in this year here, it's less and less likely, in my humble opinion, because it's like herding cats to get all these legislators together. And as we approach Election Day, right, November 5th, everybody's focused on the municipal level on elections.
Right.
So then after Election Day, November 5th, then you have Thanksgiving, right?
Oh, yeah. Veterans Day
Christmas
first.
Christmas holiday.
Veterans Day first.
What's that?
Veterans Day first. And,
yes.
And then Thanksgiving.
How about Veterans Day?
Yes.
Right? So, you know, in my humble opinion, it looks less and less likely as we go further into the year. And the next session, the short session next year, is supposed to start in early February anyway. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens. But I'm not in control of that.
Do you think tolls will get brought up in either next session or a special session between now and the end of the year?
Tolls are absolutely going to be a hot topic.
You
because
bet.
It's one of the top priorities of the state's chief elected official, our Governor Lamont. So we won the battle last session, right, where there wasn't even a toll bill that came up for vote. But Governor Lamont is going to keep on it. Now he's calling it a different thing.
Yeah.
He's got these, what we call it, tolls 3.0. He's talking about user
fees. Yeah.
That's a hidden expression for a toll.
But keep
right?
in mind, talking Senator, about- keep in mind, Senator, next year's a short session, number that's one, and number two, it's also an election year.
That's right.
And they
that's
knows
right.
that if they want to keep their numbers, if they want to keep their majority,
they're going to be gone.
Well, they're going to want to do their tolls flying under the radar in a special session a year prior to the election, closer to the holiday season. That's why I was
they're
asking.
Doing everything possible to not let that happen because the people of Connecticut don't want the extra tax. They don't want the tolls, and those legislators know that if they vote on a toll bill, right? Oh my goodness! All heck is going to pay because we are not going to let them let the people of Connecticut forget about.
And the people are ready to go.
That's
let me
right.
tell you, they're ready to take the hill.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let me tell you, thank you so much for being with us. You always
right
are not only informative, but
right there.
You're entertaining. You really are. We love having you on. Please join us more often, Senator.